Oh, and this is Braden with Noble Sports Guys. Today I'm privileged to have one of my good buddies, Talmadge. How you doing, Talmadge?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for having me on.
I appreciate you taking the time. I enjoy listening to your podcast. Talmadge does a podcast of his own, and he also does really funny TikTok videos, so you should go follow him on TikTok. I especially like the red flag TikToks. I know
Oh.
some people give you flack for it, but it's true. You need to have your red flags. You need to be visual of those red flags.
Yeah, it's so, yeah, the outrage, honestly, it's so funny. Like, it's not, I don't even get like upset by it. It's just funny at this point.
I've always been told that if you're upsetting someone, you're doing something right. So.
Yeah, Winston Churchill, he has a quote about that. He says, oh, yeah, it's Winston Churchill. He says, you have enemies? Good. That means you've stood up for something sometime in your life.
Yeah, and I think we can both agree with me focusing on women's sports and you. I'd like to say you kind of focus a little bit on mental health too with your podcast. And
Yeah.
so
Yeah.
why don't you explain a little bit about your podcast to the listeners, kind of
Yeah.
let them know what yours is about.
Totally. Yeah. So my podcast's name is Released the Podcast, and it is centered around LDS missionaries coming home from their mission. So LDS missionaries, I'm sure, I don't know what your audience is like. I don't know how many of them are LDS, but basically, an LDS missionary goes out for 2 years and teaches the gospel. And it's a hard time. It's a fun time. It like really great things about it. But coming back home is often very hard for a lot of missionaries. And it was super hard for me. I kind of got into it in the podcast, and I'll talk about it a little bit later. But I share my story. And then I start interviewing people about their stories just to help like newly returned missionaries and anybody really that knows a missionary that's coming home, just kind of understand what they're going through, what some of the predictable trials are that can come up for returned missionaries. So I kind of dive into that. It touches on mental health issues. It can touch on dating issues, issues of faith, or a whole gluttony of issues, and some even health issues too. And so it's been a super fun podcast to do, very fulfilling. I put it out there. I just kept having the feeling that I needed to do it, but I was like, oh, I'm not the guy to do it. I'm not the guy to do it. This feeling just kept coming to me, and I finally was like, you know what? Like, this is kind of like a new mission call for me. It's not like an official letter from the church, but I feel very pulled to do this. And the worst that can happen is like a couple of family and friends will listen to it and they'll be like, oh, that's so nice that you did that. And so I was like, okay, I'm just gonna go for it. And it was really scary because I was pretty vulnerable, but I did it and it's turned out to be awesome.
Yeah, I've listened to all your episodes. I also love your intro music to begin with. It pumps me up. That's one thing that I look for in podcasts is like that powerful intro, and yours definitely gets that. And I think it's awesome what you're trying to do. And I mean, it's made an impact on me, even though I've been home from my mission for how many years now? Six years. I had to think of that. And I guess it doesn't ever really change because you go from living this set schedule for 2 years or 18 months of your life and then come home, and it's definitely a hard adjustment. I kind of fell into a little bit of a depression when I came home from my mission, so I get it.
Yeah, man. Yeah, and that means so much to hear. Just hearing like comments like that about Release the Podcast is like all the confirmation in the world to me to know that like it was such a good thing to do. And I'm so grateful to be a part of it. Like I honestly I don't consider it my podcast. I consider it to be God's. I'm just so grateful that he like gave me the opportunity and the means to kind of like highlight this topic and help people share their stories.
I like it. I love listening to each of everyone's stories because they're all unique. No one mission is the same as anyone else's. So where did you serve again?
I served in Scotland and Ireland from 15 to 17.
Awesome. Yeah. I remember I came across your TikTok because you had that tell me a crazy experience.
Oh yeah.
From your mission. And I shared my typhoon story. So
oh yeah, that was nuts.
Yeah, that was, I wish I could take credit for that, but that was definitely my companion. He was a big old Tongan and was like, I don't know if you're familiar with very many Polynesian people, but they have like no fear.
Yeah.
They are like Iron Man form. So he's like, nope, we're doing this. He's like, you can either come with me or stay back. And I decided I'm not going to let him. If he's going to die, I'm not going to let him die alone. So, kind of. Yeah. It was a wild time.
Right there. And you basically almost drowned, right?
No.
Like, they almost swept you away?
Yeah. The typhoon, anyone who doesn't know this, like in the Pacific Islands and basically anywhere except for the U.S., they don't call them hurricanes, they call them typhoons. They're the same thing, but just what they call it. The one that hit our mission, it's funny, my trainer told my mom, typhoons never hit our specific mission, and while I was there, we had four. So, and this is like the worst one. It was the equivalent of Hurricane Katrina, and so we had some less active members that we were focusing on trying to get them reactivated. They lived in a little mud hut, and my companion, from when our power went out at like 11 o'clock at night to when we finally went over there at 5 in the morning, kept saying, we need to go check on them. We need to go check on them. Winds were crazy. The roofs in the Philippines are those like sharp metal, like sheets. So they cut you. They're nasty. Yeah. And those were flying around. Trees were all over at one point. So I'm about 6'2", and the water was almost to my like waist. So kind of give you, and we got there right as their house collapsed, and we were able to help get kids to a safe location and the parents. And funny enough, the dad was so mad at us. He's like, why would you do that? And my companion's like, because we love you. That's why. And I don't know. That just kind of really set the tone for me. Like, I may never really truly understand what a Filipino goes through in life with how poor they are, but all I could do is love them. And my companion was a really excellent example of that. So,
yeah. Dang, that's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love those stories because it just like, it kind of just highlights the mission. Puts a big like kind of tells people about what the entire feeling is on a mission, and like it's tough, but then the motivation of why you do all of those things is in there. And so yeah, I love those stories.
So do I. Love hearing anyone's stories really from missions, and when you hear their RMs, I'm like, cool, tell me about your mission. And you can tell the ones that were truly there because they wanted to versus the ones that were kind of just forced to go on missions. And for those people, I do feel bad that they didn't really get to experience and take the full fruits of a mission. So,
yeah, seriously.
So I guess you kind of went over it a little bit, but why don't you explain what really compelled you to start this podcast? I know you've started this podcast. I remember you telling me you helped a couple other people start their podcast. Like, what was your why? Why did you do it?
Yeah. So to give a little more background of like why I really wanted to share my story. So I was working for my dad at the time after my mission. And I was, so at this point coming back from the mission, I really just lost a lot of meaning in life. before I was serving people every single day. I was teaching the gospel, something I was very passionate about. I was with just amazing people. And then I come home and I don't have that calling anymore. I'm not asked to go preach the gospel to everybody and serve everybody. In my home ward, there's like tons of return missionaries and tons of amazing members that they don't really need too much more help, like too much help. And so I just felt like I wasn't very needed. I was told to focus on myself, to like get a job, go on dates. I'm like, what the heck? Why am I going on dates? I was just saving souls. And so, yeah. And like, I feel like I just lost a lot of meaning, and I quickly slipped into some bad habits that I had before the mission. Do you mind if I kind of talk a little bit more candidly and
frankly? Yeah, go for it.
Okay. I just didn't know what you're.
Oh, you're fine. One of my buddies who comes on my podcast swears all the time. So
okay.
It's sports normally, so that's more generally more acceptable, but yeah, feel free. This is your time to share.
Okay.
About your podcast. So.
Yeah. So when I got home from my mission, some of the bad things I fell back into wasn't just like a loss of the good habits, like planning out my day, making sure I get to bed on time and wake up on time. Some of the bad habits came back. Like before my mission, I indulged in looking at porn and masturbation and a lot of procrastination and all that stuff that a lot of teenage boys struggle with. But I fell right back into that. And my self-worth just like took a shot. I was just like, what the heck? I thought I defeated this. I thought I was doing good. And so I was kind of in a pretty depressive state, not doing much with my life, not feeling like I'm not accomplishing anything or needed. And so it was just kind of like a positive feedback loop, feeling bad about myself and then escaping with going towards porn and masturbation and then just feeling worse about myself. And so I'm working with my dad at this time. And the irony of it is my dad is a marriage and family therapist, and he works with teens transitioning home from treatment programs. So these teens are coming home from a very structured environment back to the place where they had all their bad habits and bad friends and just bad influences in general. And he helps the families welcome them back home, keep their good habits, and help them just develop a course for their future. And here I am working for him, and I've done none of that. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is poetic. This is hilarious. And I started listening to podcasts at this time. This was about 2019. So like not too long ago, beginning of 2019. And I was trying to convince my dad that he needs to start a podcast about it, because the lessons that he teaches are like crucial, and a lot of people need to know about him. And so I finally convinced him by telling him, hey, I will do everything for you. I'll figure out how to podcast. You just need to create the content. You just need to get guests on or just share your wisdom, because he's already written a book about this topic. And so he has it all in his brain. He can do it just off the top of his head. And so I convinced him to do it, and he made his podcast, and it was so fun for me. I even had my voice at the doing the intro saying, hey, this is the Not By Chance podcast. Dr. Timothane is talking about this today. And hearing my voice on a podcast was, I don't know, it was like magical. I was like, what? Like, that's so cool. I don't know. It was just so cool for me. And I started feeling like I wanted my own podcast. Like I needed, like I had a need to be heard. Not that I really had anything to say at that very moment, but like I needed to be heard. Like it was important for my self-worth, I guess. And I was like, yeah, but I'm not going to start a podcast just for the sake of starting a podcast. I need to have a reason. So I didn't start a podcast for a while. And slowly but surely, as I kept just going to work, going to church, doing stuff, I kept talking to people that had gotten home from their mission, and they were talking about how hard it was coming home. And I was like, yeah, totally. I can totally sympathize with that because I've had a hard time. And at this point, I was kind of climbing out of my depression. I was doing a lot better in my mental health, in my productivity, in life, in my dating life, in my, I wasn't acting out as much when it came to pornography and masturbation and just the other just destructive habits like that. And so I was like, well, maybe I could start a podcast about coming home from a mission. And then I'd talk myself out of it. And then I'd keep getting this feeling that I needed to. And so I made up my mind at that point, and I was gonna be very general with my podcast. Just say, hey, it's hard, right? Like, let's talk about it. But the more I thought about it, the more I was like, you know what? That's not going to help anybody if I'm general about it. I need to put a little bit of skin in the game, I guess you can say, and be vulnerable. And so with a lot of prayer and support from my family, just boosting my confidence, I decided to share my story about my struggles with sex addiction and pornography addiction and everything. And that's super scary to do, because that is a genie you cannot put back in the bottle. Once people know it, they know it. And I'm like, oh man, this is going to affect my dating life too. And so I was very scared, but I just decided to do it. I put it out there, the first episode, and I was just paralyzed by, like, it was like a vulnerability hangover. I was like, what have I done? I can't believe I just put that out into the world. And then I just started getting messages from people over and over, of people just being like, I can't believe you made a podcast about this. Actually, is it cool? I think I might have a couple of those saved on my phone. Could I read one?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, don't. This is, like I said, this is your time to shine. Like, you don't have to ask for permission. I'm just here to learn more about you. And like I said, I appreciate your podcast. It's helped me. So feel free to share whatever you want. I'm not going to say no.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you. Okay. Where is it?
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. When I came home, I had like a 3-month period from when I came home from my mission to when I was going to college. And luckily, I had a really good roommate who was my MTC comp. And so we kind of helped each other. But at the same time, it was still a very, very rough transition for the both of us, because we'd come home together and then we went from having all purpose and meaning to life to really feeling worthless, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sad. It's sad how we can forget so fast, like, our worth. We're teaching people our entire mission, like, hey, you have, like, so much worth, infinite worth. You are, like, a child of God, like, offspring of deity. Like, you're hyping them up. And then you get home, and you're like, well, I'm not doing much at all, so I don't feel good about myself. I must not be worth much. And it's so sad. I hate that. But I'm so prone to it, and I feel like a lot of people are. A lot of people are more hard on themselves than like boasting of, like, with what they've done. And so it was just so, I don't know. So actually, I'm going to just read this real quick, because
go for it.
This kind of sums up what a lot of these have said, but it's short. But this guy just messaged me on Instagram. He said, I just got to say something to you. Thank you for making a podcast about me. Legit, every single moment, I thought, how on earth could this guy know me so well? You were right when you said that this is God's podcast. Thank you. And when I, oh man, when I read that, that just brought like tears of happiness to my eyes. I was just like, I didn't do much at all. Like all I did was just press record and just tell a little bit of my story. But I feel like people are just so thirsty for that knowledge that like other people have these same thoughts, that other people struggle with this same thing. And a lot of people feel this pressure like, oh man, I've been on a mission. So therefore I need to be perfect. I was basically perfect, extremely high standards for 2 years. And now I'm struggling with some of the like things I helped people quit, and I can't quit them myself. And so like with people putting themselves at these high standards and never asking for help because they'll just see it as like a weakness, or they feel like they'll be punished, or they feel like they won't be able to find somebody good to date because they're open and honest about it. It's just so sad. But when people open up about this stuff, it just, I don't know, it's powerful.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, and I was lucky. I knew my wife in high school, and we rekindled our relationship because she didn't really like me in high school. I came home in June, and by November we were talking. And it helps when you can find someone who can relate and kind of have those feelings too. Because I will tell you that with those addictions and those struggles, you will find someone who will understand you completely and will be willing to, I don't want to say look past it, but be willing to help you overcome and help you understand. Because I know it's an everyday struggle with those things. It doesn't just go away. Like those addictions are always going to be there. And it's helpful when you have people in your corner that are like, you can overcome this and you've got this. And I've been blessed to have a wife who is excellent and patient and willing to hear me out and listen to my struggles. So it's helpful. I agree.
That's amazing, man. And that's like, yeah, that's the dream that a lot of these guys that struggle with have, is to find somebody that they can completely love, but that also in turn just completely loves them. And they're both willing to work with each other on struggles and issues and problems and just make each other better and the relationship better.
Yeah, it's an everyday process. People don't. And that's what I love about your podcast, is you're showing that it's okay to be vulnerable. It really is. Because I don't know, I kind of made a podcast, but I deleted it because I didn't want to come off as sexist or anything like that. But I talked a little bit about toxic masculinity and how at a young age, boys are told, suppress your emotions, do this, do that, don't share your feelings. Like, that's not okay. And you see all these crazy statistics where men are more likely to commit suicide and all these other things. And so I just think that your podcast is really showing that it's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to share how you're feeling. Mm-hmm. Because so oftentimes we're expected to be perfect in the church, and they forget that we're still the natural men and women and are going to fall short of that every now and again. So.
Yeah. I was very grateful to realize that people were much more understanding than I initially gave them credit for. And I think generally people are. Once you hear someone's story, you're not very inclined to start attacking them right away and start telling them how bad of a character they are. And so I think a lot of times we tell ourselves people are judging us when they're actually not. I told myself that for a long time, and I know a lot of people that have told themselves that, but then once they are finally vulnerable, they find a lot of strength in that and a lot of support from people around them.
Yeah. And you're going to have the occasional person who has an opinion, but ultimately you kind of just have to grin and bear it with those people, because they're not everyone's going to be like that. There's a whole bunch of people that are going to be in your corners and be willing to fight with you and help you. So
I actually have a funny story about that. So I was dating this girl, and I was at this point with her that I was like, okay, we're going on a lot of dates. We're getting pretty serious. I need to kind of like open up, be a little honest with her. And at that point, she kind of opened up about some things to me too. And I opened up and I was like, hey, these are some of the things I've struggled with. And these are the things that I'm doing right now to kind of fix it and become better. So I wasn't just presenting the problem. I was also presenting my solution. But there will always be some ignorant people. I'm with her in the car and we're talking about it, and she doesn't know much about it at all, which is very evident from this next statement that she said. She said, the only thing I know about pornography is that Ted Bundy looked at it. I'm like, oh, flip. I'm like, don't worry. You're completely safe.
I'm not a psychopath, I promise. I'm not a psychopath.
I'm like, if pornography was the path to people becoming like Ted Bundy, let me tell you, this world would be a lot worse off. Most men would be on their way to that. And so don't worry. That's the very, very far extreme. And so there will be some people that don't know much, that are a little bit ignorant. But I do think that for the most part, and from my experience, people are very loving and understanding if you go about it in just like a open, vulnerable way, not in a, like a attention seeking way.
And ultimately we never know what someone's going through. And I guess that's just kind of been me, because I know I've been on both ends of the spectrum where I'm like, why can't this person just do this? Like, I don't understand. Yeah. And now that I'm more responsible in my church calling now, I'm trying to see it from all aspects and trying to, instead of judge someone, because who am I to judge? Like, let me tell you a story from my mission, and it's a perfect example of why you shouldn't judge. So I had an investigator who had a whole bunch of tattoos, and personally, I love hearing people's stories about tattoos. I think tattoos that have meaning behind it, I think, are a little bit cooler than just something that just happened one night. So I love hearing backstories. I think backstories are awesome.
Yeah.
So as we were talking to this investigator, he kind of felt embarrassed about his tattoos and going into church. I was like, it's not that big of a deal. Who cares? Like, and I know there are people that'll judge him for his tattoos. So I remember there was a guy in my parents' ward. He was probably like 6'5", awesome guy. And I've actually kept in contact with his family to this day. But he was covered from like his wrist all the way up to his shoulders, both just full sleeves. He's 6'5", this big, massive dude. And his wife was a member, but he was an investigator. And he would come to church and would wear long sleeves because he was afraid that people would judge him. And he would eventually get too hot, because we're in Vegas and it gets really hot here. So he'd roll up his sleeves, and then people would give him nasty looks. He eventually was baptized, and I kind of shot him an email. I was like, hey, mom, can you get his email for me? I was like, how did you overcome that? Like, because he had told stories about it before. And he finally said, I was talking to my wife about it, and she said, either you can be worried about what people think of you and not progress, or just forget about it. And he's like, she was right. He's like, you can see, and I put quotations around this, because honestly, if someone gets a tattoo, I don't think they're condemned to hell. I want to make that very clear. But he's like, you can see my sins on my arms. What is the person next to me hiding that I can't see? And he just kind of used that as, just because you can see my mistakes, I don't know what you're going through, so why am I going to judge you? And I've just kind of used that as just a good reference. Like, I don't know what someone's going through, so who am I to judge?
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. I love that. And a lot of times, like, when there is like unrighteous judgment, because like we all need to make certain judgments, mainly when it's like pertaining to our own life. But when it's ever, whenever it's like unrighteous judgment of people, it's always like, why do we do that? Because like it's even more selfish to not even worry about them. Like, just to be like, okay, they can do whatever they want. I'm going to focus on me. And that's the right thing to do. But for some reason, we put all of our focus and energy into worrying about what other people are doing. And like I said, I don't think like everybody does that. And I think we're all guilty of it to a degree, but for the most part, I do feel like once you hear someone's story, or at least once you take the time to like care about somebody's story, then it's very hard to judge them. And so like most of those people that were giving that guy dirty looks probably never asked him about why he got those tattoos or his story like you did.
Yeah. And this is the biggest key too, is I like finding why people tick. That's my thing. Like, obviously, and even when I was a missionary, I know this is probably not the most ideal thing, but I would let people share about their religious beliefs to me too, because who am I to say, no, you're completely wrong? No, yeah. I have no place to say that. Like, obviously there's a reason why they believe what they believe, and I would let them share their beliefs with me. And then I would say like, hey, I'm not trying to discredit you at all. I'm just trying to give you a broader understanding of the gospel and Jesus Christ. That's all I'm trying to do. I'm not here to force you. I'm not here to say you're a horrible person if you decide not to. But, and I feel like that just kind of, it helped me broaden my horizons to like have a newfound respect for people who are Muslim or Catholic or Seventh-day Adventist, whatever their religion may be. I had a respect for it because obviously they're doing the same thing that I'm doing. They're just trying to live day to day and try to make sure that they're spiritually in tune or whatever it may be. And who am I to judge? So,
yeah, I love that. And studying other people's religions is so fun because like they'll put emphasis on stuff that we don't. And so, and then you can gain so much from them.
Yeah.
Like Buddhists, for example, a lot of times they'll focus on like, hey, let go of the things that you can't control. Like, take a breath, relax, and like just let go of those things. And a lot of times we have those eternal truths in the gospel, but a lot of times they're not as emphasized. And so it's so fun to learn about other people's religions.
Yeah, I got excited, and I don't know how much you know about the Philippines, but they are very much Catholic, like as a whole, like that's the number one religion, because the Spaniards came over back in the day, kind of like how the Spaniards conquered everywhere else, like Mexico and all that stuff. So Filipinos actually look very Hispanic, very Latino, because of the Spaniards, and they brought over Catholicism. And I don't know, I always found it really cool going to their churches, because they were built in like the 1500s. And one of my areas actually had a giant, kind of like in Brazil, the giant statue of Jesus. They called it Kamayni Jesus in Lukban. It's this giant statue. And it was really cool going and just kind of seeing why people believe what they do. And I think that's just kind of helped me with life in general. And so I haven't really been vocal about this, but recently I was called to be Elders Quorum president. And
oh, nice.
When I was called, I was like, what the heck? Like, to give you a little bit of backstory, our ward is a little bit older and I'm probably the youngest elder. And I was like, why are you calling a 26-year-old to be an Elders Quorum when there's like guys who have been doing this way longer than I've been born. Like, like why? I don't understand it. And I've just really, the church is trying to go into a more of a direction of quit judging people and just love them. And I know a lot of the older generation is having a bit of a difficulty with that. And so my bishop kind of said, like, hey, you're a little bit easier to mold and shape in the way that we want to go, the direction of loving my neighbor and actually doing that, not just because they're completely different than us, like whether it's different color skin, different sexual orientation, love them all. Cause at the end of the day, we're all just trying to live and be happy and find purpose with life. So,
yeah, I love that. There was, oh wait, I just lost my train of thought. Oh wait, no, I got it back. Yeah. I think Elders Quorum has so much untapped potential. In my struggles and my addiction and everything, I've gone to groups, and one group in particular was so amazing. These guys, I would do anything for them. I know they have my back and I have theirs, and the brotherhood in there and the vulnerability and the love and the discussion we have in there is just so powerful every time like I've met with them. And I was thinking about it. I'm like, you know what? Elders Quorum needs to be like this. Elders Quorum is a place for like men to go to help uplift one another, to like come closer to God, to love one another, to confide in each other. And really just like, yeah, just support one another. But right now, I'm in a singles ward, so right now it seems like everybody just goes to Elders Quorum. They're kind of looking at each other, seeing what the competition is for dating, and giving good like Sunday school answers, like, hey, we need to read our scriptures more, we need to serve more and everything. And the teachers do their best, like valiant efforts, and a lot of times it's really good. But I feel like the brotherhood is just not there when it totally can be. And so that's awesome that you're Elders Quorum president. I hope that, like, I'm praying for you, man. You got this, like, to help all those older elders like kind of come together even more than they have been. And so that's awesome.
I kind of got a little bit of a rude awakening. So my wife is in the Release Society presidency, and you know how there's the huge difference between like Release Society lessons and Elders Quorum lessons. There's usually a lot of thought and like that goes into Release Society lessons, and they try to uplift each other, where Elders Quorum, it's like you can't get anyone to answer a question usually. Just like the stereotypes. Well, my wife was making visits with her presidency, and they came across one of my elders. His wife was out of town, but they had brought like goodies. And he told my wife, not realizing my wife was my wife, and said, I wish the Elders Quorum would do something like that. Like, they don't do anything. I'm like, and he's in ward council too. So I kind of brought it up that I'm trying to be better. And he was so embarrassed. I was like, no, don't be embarrassed. Like, it was a wake up call for me. Yeah. Like, just because we're men doesn't mean that I can't come and bring you cookies.
Yeah.
If you want cookies, let me know. I will bake cookies if it makes you feel better.
Dude, like, I'd love any brother that would do that for me. Just bring me over some cookies and just be like, hey, man, what's up?
Like, just like a little bit, a little visit. And like, and I've even told my wife, like, there's this ugly stereotype with Elders Quorum that it's just supposed to be bland and boring. And it's like, no, I don't want to be bland and boring. I want a place that, like, a brotherhood, like you said, like, and so I'm still trying to learn. And it doesn't help that both my counselors have moved to Idaho, so I have to find new counselors, and it's a yeah. whole process, but I'm slowly getting there. And our elders, our missionaries for our ward, like, how old are you? I'm like, I'm 26. And they're like, oh, future prophet. I'm like, please don't say that. Like, I cannot, like, this is stressful enough. Like, I'm doing a podcast. I'm a dad. Yes. I'm a husband. I'm working full time. I'm going to school full time. Like, please, like, my
don't plan add is anything more.
Full. Yeah. So
that is so funny.
But obviously, there's a purpose for everything, and I'm still trying to find my reason. At the end of the day, if it's just so that I can have a better understanding of Elders Quorum, then so be it. So
yeah. And it's funny because whenever I'm in Elders Quorum, and it's appropriate, I don't just talk about stuff when it's not appropriate, but like, and I bring up something a little bit more vulnerable, such as like the pornography addiction, immediately, whenever I say it, people sit up straighter. People like kind of perk up, and without incriminating themselves, they'll raise their hands. They're like, yeah, I really agree with what he's saying. And so it's really funny, but it always gets more engagement. People feel more invested, and oftentimes people will come up afterwards and just be like, hey man, like, thank you so much for your thoughts. I really needed to hear that today. And so just like a little bit of vulnerability in appropriate moments, like either from like the teacher or even better from somebody that's just sitting in Elders Quorum would just be so good.
Yeah. And I feel like your podcast is really getting that across too, kind of normalizing that vulnerability is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it'll take some time, but it's definitely made an impact on myself. I've shared it with, so everyone in my media group is all LDS as well. So I've shared it with them because we've all gone through it, whether it's going on a mission for a couple months, cause that happens, or a full mission. We've all experienced something when it comes to missions in the church. So
yeah. Dang, that's awesome. Thank you so much. And like, just you inviting me on too, honestly means so much, because I've been meaning to get around to doing season two, but I keep putting it off because, like, to be honest, I still have struggles. I still slip up sometimes, and life is hard. And so I keep telling myself, oh, I'll do it later. But you inviting me onto your podcast has really, it's a big motivator. It just reminds me of why I did this in the first place, and why I still feel called to doing it. And so huge thank you for that.
Yeah, I appreciate you taking the time. I'm sorry we had to postpone it.
Oh, you're good.
I'm still not 100%. It's the downfall of having a daughter who has to go to daycare.
Yeah.
Daycare is an unfortunate necessary evil, but it's like a germ pool.
Yeah.
My daughter has been going since October of last year and has had two exposures to COVID. She's had RSV. She's had croup twice. She's had some weird stomach bugs. So she's been sick multiple times. And it's tough. My wife's in a hard place because it's her daycare. So she's not only is she a parent, but she's also a teacher there. So she's like, if I complain, I'm also talking bad about my job. So I'm like, let me be the bad guy. let me go and bat for Penelope.
Yeah.
Be her voice. So, and
it's great.
Like I said, I'll be happy to introduce you to both of my uncle-in-laws. So Sheldon Martin, he's got his PhD, I believe, in psychology, and he works with the church. And then his brother, Shad, I don't know if you've heard of the program, especially for athletes.
Oh, no.
It's kind of big in Utah. He and one of his buddies, so Shad played collegiate baseball and was really good, like really good. He played at Rick's back when Rick's had a baseball team. And him and one of his buddies decided to do this kind of a branch off of especially for youth, but it's especially for athletes. And they interview They've interviewed like Max Hall. I don't know if you're familiar with Max Hall.
Yeah, I'm totally familiar with him. He just did a fireside on his addiction, and it's awesome.
Yeah, and that was a really good podcast. They've done one with Chad Lewis. Chad Lewis was a tight end for the Eagles back in the day. So they're both really cool, and so I'd be happy to introduce you to them because they could definitely give you – because they both have – I believe they're both in psychology and stuff like that, so –
Yeah, I would love, absolutely love to talk to them. That sounds so cool.
Yeah, so it looks like we're going to wrap up here. But before we go, is there anyone you'd like to shout out? Or basically, you can let the listeners know where to find your podcast too.
Yeah. My podcast, it's just released, the podcast. You can find it on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. If you want to follow my TikTok, honestly, it's just a lot of random things, some church stuff, some dating stuff, some, I don't know, whatever I'm feeling that day. It's just Talmadge Thane. And my Instagram is also just Talmadge Thane. Just like my last words, I guess, besides like, thank you so much, like so grateful for this. It's just that like people need to be heard. People need to feel like they're important. They need to be heard. And starting this podcast was huge for me. And when I was starting it, I decided to come up with a like last thing I said at the end of each podcast. And I was pondering it for a long time, and I was talking to my mom about it, and I was praying about it. Like, what is the message I want everybody to know? At the end of each podcast, just for them. And it was this, remember, God is good and he's planned on your success. And though you've been released from your mission, you've not been released from your ministry. I just want everybody to know that like their life has infinite meaning. There's so much potential that each one of us has, and we're all called to something. And I feel so grateful that I was called to start this podcast. And so, and people can find out what they are called to do, prayer, patience, and just going with your gut, having a little bit of faith and courage and just trying things out. And so, yeah, once again, Braden, thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it. It's definitely a different pace for me. But I don't know if you listen to Parcast. Parcast is like my go-to for podcasts that are not sports related. And they often do that. They will spotlight completely different random podcasts from their content. And I really want to grow and I want to help you grow. So this is one way. And I was happy to reach out to you and happy that you accepted. So,
yeah, thank you. It means so much. And you're kind of a kick in the pants for me to get season 2 going.
Yeah, do it, man. I mean, the only thing that's going to stop you is you yourself. And
yeah,
it's kind of, it's difficult. I get it. There are times that I'm like, I do not want to record an episode, but I need to. It helps me. This is kind of how I cope with my anxiety and my mental health is doing this podcast. So.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Again, thank you. I appreciate you. And like always, stay classy, Las Vegas. See you later.